I'd like to welcome Josh Long to the podcast. Josh, thanks for joining me. I know you don't get sung in very often, do
No, I think that's the first time, actually.
It's how we Canadians roll.
I feel like I need a cigarette or something.
Hey
No, it's an
now.
honor. Yeah, it's an honor.
Where are you based again? Just for our listeners. I mean, I could probably rhyme it off, but I'll butcher it because, my geography in the US is a bit off.
Yeah, I'm traveling a lot, but my home base is in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is on the coast of North Carolina.
Awesome. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, and actually it's funny because your name came up when I did my Creative Live 3 day workshop back in October slash November of last year, where I brought up the book Execute. Now, the reason I brought that book up is because you got that book done in 7 days, correct?
3 days I wrote it, 8 days to the publisher.
So
Designed.
it, so I was close. Still, that's crazy making. In that qu so can you just share with our listeners? I'm going to put a link to it because I mean, and the nice thing is it was well crafted too. Like just the look of the book, the cover is what drew me to it right away. I'm like, oh, this is just it looks really nice, and then just the idea of setting a deadline and not letting Parkinson's Law have any hold on you during the
Or
process.
using it against the project.
Yeah, exactly. So, can you just share with the listeners here as to first off what Execute was all about and why you put such critical constraints around it?
Well, it was an interesting project, really. I was a guest on the Industry Radio Show, which was another podcast, and Drew Wilson was on there, and he was mentioning something about having finished a build. Then it was called Spacebox. Now it's called Plasso. And it's a great product, and he built it in 3 days, and I thought that was really fascinating, because I'm always someone that likes to, well, as a productivityist, if you will, I like to see what people are capable of in short amounts of time when they're super focused. So someone that could build a product in 3 days was really intriguing to me. So we literally, I pinged Drew and I said, "Hey man, I think this would make a really, really good idea for a book." So we literally had a 2-hour conversation. I asked him about all the details, and I'm really good about picking out patterns. When something happens, I can really dissect it, find the essence of what it is, and then build on that. So I took that 2-hour interview. It took 3 days, and actually, it was more like we were going to set ourselves a week, but about 4 days, I think it was. I'm having a hard time remembering this now, but about 4 days into the book, I scrapped the whole thing and started over.
Yeah, I remember that in the
So,
book. Yeah, you said, yeah, that was something you brought up in the book.
And that's another thing too. Sometimes when you're not feeling the pace of something, you need to scratch it and start over, even if it hurts. So I took the next 3 days and just in mercenary style, wrote the entire book in 3 days, and then we had it off to the printer.
That's crazy making. Seriously. And here's the thing is that you mentioned patterns, by the way, which I thought was interesting because you got the school too, right? Patterns, no less.
That's one of the reasons I called it that, actually, because after breaking things down for my career, breaking things down to their essence, everything comes down to specific patterns. And when I was working with Seth Godin, we were talking about an hour and a half every day. We were going to do the school originally together, and then he basically said, "You've got this whole thing." I had all the sponsors lined up and everything. He was basically just like, "Run with it." And I just, after working with him, I just got the confidence, said, "You know what? I think I've gone through enough and enough real world experience to do this thing." So I launched it in 2 months.
He's a pretty amazing guy. I mean,
He really is.
it was one of those things back when I was starting out doing this productivity stuff. I was doing the productivity parody stuff. So I was doing like a Stephen Colbert-esque take on life hacking because I thought that the whole industry had been kind of, even then it was kind of like, why are you reading so much productivity stuff to be more productive when you're not being productive at all? So it was very much it was almost like everything was eating itself. And I did an interview with him for my old podcast, and I thought it tanked because I told him exactly what the deal was. I said, I'm a buffoon as a character in this. I mean, I understand this, but you're gonna basically what Colbert does. And I listened back to the interview, and he got it. Like, he so got it. He played that straight man so well that it was the best interview I ever did for that podcast. It was unreal, and it was just a testament to the kind of attention to detail. And I guess it's interesting because we talk about, I mean, I talk about productivity a lot, and you you actually got the term productivityist correct, which is a testament to you, because most people don't get it correct on the first go. but the fact that he's got the presence of mind to have, like, just he lets his mind be the factory instead of like that warehouse, right? Where he doesn't keep. I mean, he's just. It's one of those things where because he's able to be present in the moment and he's set up those boundaries to do so, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, his brain is just, it's absolutely off the charts, and he's put so many things into play. And honestly, like, you know, a lot of my industry is in the design world, and I tell people all the time, is like, read every single Seth Godin book you possibly can, even if it's not, you're not a business person, you're not a marketing person. The way that he thinks and the way that he sees the world is, you know, he's a gift to us.
Really. Well, and his children's book. I mean, that's one of those things where people are like, well, why would you just get it? Just get the children's book, because it's one of those things where your kids, and this is something that I've talked about before too, is that we tend to, and he's written about the schools and stuff, we tend to, you know, not necessarily screw up our kids, but put our kids into school, and then they start to go down the path, which is what I want to get to here, is with where time becomes more important than task. Urgency becomes the you know, the modus operandi, as opposed to, hey, let's really focus and make good stuff here. And I guess one of the things I want to talk to you about when it came to execute was, do you wanted to see if you could get it done in that period of time? I guess that was the goal, right? That was the goal. But but if you had, it was an experiment. You probably, would you do something like that again? Or would you, how would you approach it if you were to tackle a project similar to that again? Or would you say, you know what, putting that kind of time constraint on something has only so much value?
I would say both, to be honest. I don't like the fact that there's a couple typos that I missed. We obviously didn't have a time for an editor. So even in writing in 3 days, I had to read that book like over and over and over again. I probably read it 5 times as I was writing it, which, you know, like without an editor, you really have to keep rereading things as far as structure and typo. So there were a couple things that slipped through, and a couple things that when Drew was putting it into InDesign, I think there's one part of the book where he copied and pasted the same paragraph.
Oh.
Like, yeah. A lot of people don't catch it, but yeah,
I didn't think I caught it. I don't think I caught it.
Yeah, so it's things like that. But as far as the time, to be honest, I could have taken a year to write the book, and it probably would have been maybe 2% better.
Right. Right, because you were working, you know, present top of mind stuff, right?
Yeah,
and your enthusiasm probably would have waned as well, because your focus would have been split amongst all different directions, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, that, and also, you know, writing it that fast was a testament to the book. It was kind of proof of the ideas in the book. You know, it was one of these weird meta kind of things where the book was about itself as I was writing it, and it was kind of putting itself into practice, and even putting itself into practice for marketing. A lot of people heard about the book because of the way the book was written, and it kind of just perpetuated itself, and it ended up being a really, really good project. You know, not all projects are as successful as that one, but it was a lot of fun.
What's next? I mean, you've got the pattern school that you're working on. You've got Simplecast, right? We talked about that just before we started recording here. The podcasting, for lack of a, I guess it's a podcasting host / player / all-in-one solution to a certain extent.
Yeah, you can just upload an audio file, and it even builds a website for you. So it takes care of a lot of things with stats and a dashboard and all that stuff.
And that's exactly what this podcast is on, actually. So that's right. And so what else are you working on? Because everything you seem to work on, and this is what I like about when I follow your stuff, is that I've got this kind of mindset of simple, obvious, scalable. Like the whole SOS acronym always comes to mind with me, which is, you want something that's simple, something that's obvious, like there's an obvious need for it. It's obviously that you look at that place for that thing, but scalable. Like I look at patterns and, you know, I mean, you can scale this. I mean, you can see where it's scaling out. You know, I mean, design is just one aspect of it. The book, execute, you could take that and scale it out if you really wanted to. Like you just said, you could have taken a year to write it, or you could very well turn it into a workbook. If you like, there's some scalability there. So what's the next thing you're working on, or what are you working on now that's going to kind of emulate the essence of the work that you've created so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think essence is the perfect word. You know, I'm an essentialist, and that's really what enables me to get the right things done in a lot of work, because over the years I've been able to decide what was essential and what wasn't and get rid of everything else. That's a very, very hard discipline to learn, and it's it's a proactive thing. But so I'm releasing a whole new suite of apps. Looks like next week we're submitting to the App Store for Cheddar, which is the to-do platform.
I know Cheddar very well.
Yeah, and then Simplecast is actually, and I haven't told many people this, but I am building a whole other part of the platform of Simplecast, which is essentially going to be the RDO of podcasts, if you will. And there's a whole lot behind it, I wish I could say at this point, but I'm talking with Google Ventures, Excel Partners, Foundation Capital, and Haystack about the proper funding and things like that.
It's interesting you mention RDO over Spotify. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, like Spotify, I mean, it's funny, maybe you were doing it because we didn't have Spotify up here in Canada for the longest time, but I think you probably did it because you prefer, I prefer the design of RDO over Spotify. Now, I'll never get Spotify as a sponsor on the show now, but no, I have Spotify now, and I invest a lot of time and energy into RDO, obviously. In fact, what was weird is The Verge did the whole Guardians of the Galaxy playlist thing and how it's like the top. And someone was going through The Verge articles and they said, didn't notice this, but the Guardians of the Galaxy playlist they link to in that article is my playlist. Which nice. I'm like, really? I said, I didn't expect to be my first appearance to be in The Verge because of that, but I'll take it.
Yeah, take it.
But the RDO thing versus, like, that to me is a conscious thing to say. It's like the whole choice of how the look of it, right? Is that part of why you or was it just kind of like, hey, this is the first thing that came to mind?
Well, the problem with internet radio, there's podcasting, but a lot of people don't get podcasting necessarily. No. And I really, really enjoy it. And I love the conversations like you and I are having right now. I think there's a lot more of those conversations out there. There's also a lot of celebrities that are looking to have their own channels. But essentially, yes, it is because of the design, but it's also because you're going to be able to create playlists. You're going to be able to follow people. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to create apps where you can actually connect with someone over the internet and record directly from a Mac app. So I'm working on all of those platforms, but I'm trying to make it dead simple. So essentially anyone, just like YouTube, if you will, I hate using other startups for examples, but we only have so much time. on YouTube, you can start your own channel. It's going to be the same thing with this, but for basically talk radio. And with technology like CarPlay and everything coming out, I really want to give everyone a better experience. There are so many apps out there, yet there's really no dead simple, really fun way to experience, discover, and just kind of enjoy the conversations that are happening. And hopefully the simplicity of it will incite more people to create channels.
Simplicity scales, right? Simplicity scales. I mean, there's a reason people still use paper for their to-do lists. May not be the best thing. Yes. They should use Cheddar, maybe. But know, I mean, the point is that paper, I mean, you can hand someone a sheet of paper and they look at it and go, okay, I know what this is, right? It's the basis most basic of things, right? So, but this has been awesome, Josh. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you online when they want to learn more about you and see what else you're what other awesome things you're making and executing in the world?
And the easiest way to find me is just at Josh Long on Twitter, and you can start and go whichever way you want to.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Mike.